This is Jennifer Stone with Stone's Throw. Oh, these days, the days of Pandemica, I seem to live in the past. It's so much easier. Now, it wasn't easier then, of course. But, well, I just remember the good stuff. That's what I say, you know. You can sort it all out. I'm 87, and it's too late to complain. I just think, well, I will just make notes of the good stuff. Still, nostalgia ain't what it used to be. I like to go back now to the beaches, the seascapes. Oh, yes, one after another, seascapes. I think the first one to remember is 1939, yes. That would be La Jolla, then Laguna Beach, 1949, a place called Three Arch Bay in my high school years, yes. Oh, God, that was beautiful. I went under the three arches and took photographs. Then, I guess, so many more in between. Finally to Bolinas, yes. Over the years, there was Stinson Beach, then Mendocino and out to Point Reyes, and so many moments, Bodega Bay. Anyway, the last one that I use in my dreamscape is Bolinas. I remember seeing there a young woman on a horse riding across the beach, and I thought, well, that's a movie, that's cinematic. Anyway, it was a kind of reddish horse. She had a kind of reddish hair. She was too far away to call to her, yes. I just thought I would wait and maybe find her again another evening. In the morning, I could walk down the hill, cross the beach to town, coffee at the little cafe next to the art gallery. That was about a half hour's walk. On that beautiful beach, I stayed there for a year and a half. The beauty held me. In any case, now that I am so near the end of things, I do try to do some summing up, and of course, that is useless. Mm-hmm. I thought I would make docudreams, but that doesn't work either. I have talked in the past about how we turn fiction into fact. Don't quite know if that works, but I have tried to do it. That is, start out telling the story, a fact, yes, a place, a time, and then see if something emerges. I guess a major metaphor, but that was something we did in writing workshops anyway. In my hand today, I have a little book, first little book I had published by the Berkeley Poets Workshop. Great folks. Back in the 70s, they published a little collection I had. These were written back in the late 70s when I tried to do memory exercises anyway. There's a little book here called Over by the Caves. We all know what Over by the Caves means, if we think about it. In the beginning of the book, on the first page, there's one of those lovely little epigraphs. I love those. This is from a Japanese noho drama sponsored by the priest, Rwaki, right? He says, strange. What seems so very old a cave is all glittering bright within, like the flicker of fire. It is like the inside of a house. Oh, yes, we called it the beach house, full of sand and shells, anyway. This is called Borrowed Blue. My mother's best friend was Anna. They met on the beach at La Jolla in 1938. Anna had a baby named Nathaniel, and mother had me. They used to meet by the sea and swim and go for tea and feel free. Ah, Mother wasn't married, though, because she, well, she was free now. Anna wasn't free because she was still married and to be divorced anyway. They both laughed about all these things, and they played those crazy hoopla records on the Victrola. They played the Black Hawk Waltz and Go See What the Boys in the Back Room Will Have, and Barnacle Bill the Sailor. I'll come down and let you in, cried the fair young maiden. They read Archie Unrehittable over their drinks. Ah, there's a dance in the old dame yet, Archie. Toujours gay, kiddo. Toujours gay. Evenings, they folded leaves into slim volumes of Edna St. Vincent Millay. They rattled off Dorothy Parker's punchlines. Yes, they were bitter, all right. Dorothy Parker, yes, she wrote a little poem, it was called. Two-volume novel. The suns turned dim and the moons turned black. 'Cause I loved him and he didn't love back. as Zelda felt. They never stopped smoking except to sleep. They lived it up because tomorrow you may die, but alas, you never do. And so I remember them that way. Then I see them coming down the steps by the cliff over the cove. Cove, that's what they call that rare beach. They would bring grapes and umbrellas and sand pails down to the beach, stay there each day until one day it was autumn. Well, I remember thinking about all those things when I got to the stories on on the war. We lived right there where the shore patrol met every night. We could see them saluting each other and walking around looking for fires, you know, on the beach, in case the Japs would see us and come invade. Anyway, I wrote this little story in memory of that time, thinking what might be coming, trying to anticipate the thing we call World War II. This is called Wartime Story. In 1941, in September, my father said, yes, there is going to be a war, all right. And there was, of course. So we left Tucson and the Arizona desert sand. We went to the seashore, where the sand is wet. There was a bank there. My father worked in the bank, and there was blood in that bank. Lots of it. My mother brought along me and my brother and my sister, too. When we got to the Pacific coast, yes, there was La Jolla. We lived in a house on stilts out over the ocean that year. Ah, that was fine, of course. Sea lions climbed up on the rocks under the dining room windows. We threw them the grapefruit rinds from the breakfast table. I used to throw down my prunes until my father saw me and smacked me one. Oh, we cooked out on the beach a lot. But the boys on the shore patrol, yes, they came. They made us put out the fires, yes, because maybe those Japs would see us. Anyway, before dark, we boiled scallops in big tubs on the sand. We set out lobster pots in the mornings. We dove for abalone. All the nurses from the Navy hospital and the corpsmen from the blood bank came to stay with us. We all sang around the fireplace. They all drank bourbon all night. Well, one of the nurses had a baby, and we all took turns taking care of it. The butter was rationed, and so was the gas. And the gas, I guess they needed, but about the butter, my mother wasn't so sure. She said the butter was so scarce because that way everyone had something to talk about. Anyway, no one liked the margarine. It came in an ugly plastic bag with a red pellet in it, and my job was to knead the plastic bag and turn that lard, it must have been, into something that looked like butter. It spread around in the white lard, yes. Sort of like blood spilling. No one liked it anyway. Everyone stole a little butter from the Navy Hospital, real butter. They brought along enough for themselves, a pat for the baby. Then one day, lots of sailors and friends of everyone's got caught in a riptide. They all got cut up out on the rocks. They stepped in the coral. The shoreline was covered with blood, and they were all laughing. Then sewing each other up, which they all knew how to do, of course. They all said, "A little esprit de corps, esprit de corps, there, fella." Blood was coming out, yes. Blood was coming out from their feet, yes. It looked as if they all had a spaghetti flight. Yes, one sailor had to go to the hospital, but the rest were all drinking again by evening, singing. Yes, spaghetti fights. So many nights at the Navy Hospital in the blood bank. They segregated the blood. They divided up the little packets of plasma. There was black blood and white blood. Segregated. Once my father gave me a truck driver's blood after I had an accident and needed a transfusion. That's why I got well so quick, he told me. I thought about that. I decided that they did not care about male blood mixing with female blood. Black blood was certainly the best blood, my father said. He laughed and he put black blood into all the best white folks because didn't they need all the help they could get? Then he laughed some more and said that bigots watered down the black blood with white blood to make them impotent. One night after dark, I climbed down the hill and I sat on the beach to wait for some Japs. Wait for them to sneak up to the beach in their submarines. There was only me and my friend Nathaniel, who was 10, and two other little kids. Their mothers didn't care where they were. After a while, we saw a small porcelain woman in a kimono walk out of the sea. She carried a baby to a place on the sand. She had long black hair. She looked like the miniature doll my father bought me in the flower shop, the doll cased in glass. After I got the doll, the shop was closed because the flower shop lady went away to a camp. The woman on the beach wrapped the baby in the flag of the rising sun. Then she poured gasoline all over the baby. The gasoline was not rationed, and it made the baby cry, so the woman gave it a beautiful flower to play with. And when the baby was quiet again, she struck a match to the flag. And the baby screamed for a while, and then it was dead. And yes, then she put the fire out with sand so that the shore patrol wouldn't see us. She made a grave. She set more flowers all around the mound. She knelt down there for a time. She lifted a crown of wind chimes from her headdress. She placed it on the grave. And then, quietly, she set down a small bowl of rice. Ah, it sat in the sand, just within reach. She knelt down there once more. When she was finished with her ritual, she walked back into the sea, and she swam west into the east. We saw her kimono through the foam on the waves. That little story was a wartime memory that I guess you can work it out. I think that my friends told me that I was a neo-symbolist and they were awfully tired of it, but I went on to write a number of stories with that idea in mind. The ghosts of the past will never leave us. The past is always present. Fortunately, we don't have to live it again. I guess being old has its joys. I will be with you another time soon. This has been Jennifer Stone with Stone's Throw. Till I talk to you again, go easy. And if you can't go easy, go as easy as you can.